Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, this day of December 19th, 2009. Got an interesting show today, a special Christmas message from Mother Mary. And for those who are familiar with this show, Cosmic Love, you have information on the Cosmic Love homepage with links. You can read more about our guest today, David Lewis, and his experience, the momentum he has as a singing messenger of Mother Mary. And so we'll have a unique Christmas message from her today. You'll hear from David, a little background on his personal connection with Mother Mary, where he's coming from, experiences he's had over these several years in particular, some amazing experiences, some pilgrimages he's had, many visitation experiences, dictations, heart streams, that he calls them, with Mother Mary in particular and many other ascended masters. So this is quite an amazing story. Those who are familiar with the teachings of the ascended masters and the history of those teachings over the last 100 years, going back to the Ballards and the IM movement in the 30s and the Bridge to Freedom after that, and the teachings of the ascended masters under Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and many other messengers of the masters in along the way, different messengers of different kinds, you might say, on the seven rays. Many people listening to this show are familiar with the teachings of the ascended masters from many different perspectives. Current messengers of sometimes referred to as the Brotherhood, sometimes referred to as the cosmic beings, higher dimensions, other octaves, whatever. There's a lot of different gifts of the Holy Spirit coming through many different people at this time as the veil is thinning on this accelerated timeline through 2012. The story of David Lewis and his experience with the Heart Center is quite an amazing story. I've been monitoring and listening actively to many different messengers, from messages from Matthew to other messages going on. But David's message is largely unheard in a larger audience, although he has strong followers all over the world. He lectures all over the world, giving dictations, and having seminars all over the world, and he has quite an amazing momentum, and as I referred to on the homepage, more than 200 dictations from Mother Mary. And the way he puts his dictations to music is what's really interesting, how you can engage your heart with music and sing along with these dictations. There's a link I provided as a good example on the Cosmic Love webpage. You can listen to a heart stream a song that David's brought forward, and the music with it, and engage your heart in the process of singing it. And the momentum that David has on this, with as a longtime writer and composer and singer with 5 CDs of inspirational music, has really served him well as a messenger for Mother Mary and the Masters. It's a story that I really think more people should hear. It's a wonderful story for Christmas 2009. So I'm looking forward to having David tell more of his story. David, are you on yet? I guess he's not there yet. They're hooking up a landline phone for him as they speak. So I'm going to give a little bit more background on David before he comes on. This story of his own attainment and momentum with music, writing music, and singing it, playing the piano, and producing his own CDs over the years, was largely his momentum and attainment before he was tapped, you might say, to become a messenger for the masters. And that's quite a calling. If you can imagine, you know, you being tapped for coming forth with the teachings of inspirational guides who have had enough momentums of mastery that they could graduate from this octave of incarnation. I can't make the claim to that fact. I mean, I hear voices, but I like to think of it as my conscience sometimes. But knowing many different messages of the Masters, and knowing David's story, and knowing what he's done, and this is really where the rubber meets the road, to tune into his momentum of attainment and mastery and how that has served bringing forth great light from the Masters has been a real treat to me to know David in this regard. And I've had experiences that were so tangible in this regard that it has really inspired me to have David on. So let me check. David, are you still there yet?
I'm here now, yeah.
Can you speak a little louder? Or maybe
sure.
it's just my microphone, Seth, if you could bring up my audio a little bit. Or bring up David's audio. Okay, well, David, I'm getting a little echo. Can you hear that?
No, I can't hear it. I can hear you clear.
Okay, well, maybe that's just on my end. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you some of the questions. I gave you a little introduction about where you've been coming from with the Heart Center. And I'd really like to know more about your personal connection with Mother Mary and how long ago that really became a part of your activity with the Heart Center.
Well, I have had a connection since early childhood. I was born and raised Catholic, and in the second grade, I remember a priest asking me what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I said a priest. Well, I didn't end up being a priest outwardly, but I think that my path has embraced the light and the heart of Mother Mary. I was an altar boy. I gave the rosary as a young child, and one of my earliest recollections as a young boy was our family doing a rosary in the evening with the lights off and a little vigil candle. So Mother Mary has been dear to my heart, and in 2004 I had a mystical experience in June where I was in a service and received a special dispensation of grace whereby from that day forward I was able to have interlocution, as the Catholics would say, with the heart of Mary and various saints. And so in the last 5 years, by the grace of God, I've been able to receive these locutions, which are telepathic conveyances of beautiful spiritual messages from the heart and the mind of Mother Mary, which edify, which illumine, and which grace us with her presence, her beingness, and her great love for humanity. The majority of the messages speak of healing as a sacred ministry that we can engage in our work for humanity, and it is her great desire to establish an outward retreat here in the Paradise Valley in Montana that would be reflective of some that she has initiated in other parts of the globe, such as in Lourdes and at Fatima, Lourdes being in southern France, Fatima in Portugal. So a lot of the 215 messages that I've received over the last 5 years center around the ministry and the mission that she has envisioned for many of us to partake of that is beautiful, and it uses New Age concepts that will take us into higher consciousness, presence, and her grace, her immaculate heart, which is stupendous.
So this is a dynamic right now from what I understand with the accelerated thinning of the veil on the 2012 timeline, that there's more people having a, you might, when I say a thinning of the veil, they're having more of a sense of the spirit world.
Absolutely. I think many people are awakening and becoming more conscious of their higher self or their source, their God presence, their inner self, whatever term you would like to call their Buddha nature, if you were a devotee of the Buddhist teachings. And so really part and parcel to the message that she conveys each time is that we all need to make that connection with our higher self, with our presence, and stay in that presence, stay connected with our true heart of love to our presence. And so many, many people upon the earth are being quickened and awakened in this hour by what I would call the power of the Holy Spirit, and they are receiving this divine instruction from within. We all have that ability. It's not just reserved for a few. And I think the message of Mary and the message of Jesus, her son, as the Christ, who embodied the Christ consciousness, is that each and every one of us are sons and daughters of God. We're no longer supposed to really engage in this consciousness of being sinners, although humanly, of course, we all make mistakes. But we need to embrace and accept our divinity, that divine aspect of ourselves, which has always been there. And so in many of the messages that Mother Mary has conveyed, especially when I went with about 33 devotees on an 8-day pilgrimage to all 21 missions in California, as well as to a number of sacred spots in Mexico, her conveyance was always about the fact that we must accept ourselves as sons and daughters of God, made in the image and likeness of God, and no longer look at ourselves as these lowly or unworthy sinners. Because that keeps us in a mode and in a consciousness of imperfection, when in reality we were created in God's image, which is perfect. And if we are to really rise into, in this age, our true divinity, then we must accept a new estate of holiness and grace and blessedness that comes when we live within our heart, when we are heart-centered, when we are kind, thoughtful, gracious, and living in this state of loving kindness.
So the frequency of holy compassion, as in frequently, is pretty much, from what I understand, the age that we're moving into is more of this balance of the Divine Mother loving frequency in balance with the Divine Masculine or Alpha Principle.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, Christianity in the past has really only embraced God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, recently, the Holy Spirit conveyed to me that the Holy Spirit is actually a feminine aspect of God, which is really interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
But also the mother principle, it was missing and purposely left out by the early church fathers. They basically denigrated the image of Mary Magdalene, who's now, because of the Da Vinci Code and other books and movies, is coming to the fore as a representation of the divine feminine or the feminine aspect of God. And so Mary has always been there within the Catholic Church as a feminine icon and image, but we now embrace her not as just the Mother of God, but we embrace God the Mother, equal and co-equal to God the Father, as the creators, as the co-creators, the Elohimic uniplurality of Godness, that without the Mother Principle, you can't have creation. So
that's an interesting concept. The plural name of God, the concept of the Elohimic kingdom as a out of many one. You know, it's like how a flock of birds will fly all together, and there's like these spirit energies, like a fabric network of light. Of beings, light beings that are all connected and connect with the human evolutions. And actually there's a parallel here with the principle of the Divine Mother, from what I understand, and the Eastern concept of the Antakarana, or the web of light, and the Eastern orientation, which is more of a spherical right brain nature, just as the Western orientation is more of a linear logical left brain nature. And what's always fascinated me is this principle of the Divine Mother. It's like it's integrating East and West. There's this balance of the Eastern principles of more of a spherical, intuitive knowing rather than a linear, logical frame of reference that tends to be lockstep letter of the law.
Yeah, it really is an age of integration, and that's what's key.
Yeah.
And it's like the eighth age. You know, you go through the seven rays, and now the eighth ray is the age and the ray of integration. And it is the integrating of masculine and feminine, and it's the age of the rising of the feminine, of the kundalini fire force from the base of the spine to the crown. And when you have that raising of that mother light, there is then illumination, there is enlightenment, and ultimate freedom. So this is the age of the divine feminine, and it is time that women have their freedom fully, not just in a social sense, in terms of rights, in terms of, you know, equal rights with men, but really the dawning within men of the rising
feminine
of the soul faculties, the feminine aspect of men's self too. And so this is really happening everywhere.
Well, I'm really fascinated with this whole concept of things going in that direction and how there's an accelerated balancing of karma from the past for everyone, and everyone's experiencing this, like light brings up all unlike itself. And so you've got like corks under the surface of consciousness of records of collective humanity, and this is individually as well as collectively. And those corks are popping up. You know, there's like these records from the past that were never understood or forgiven, and they pop up so that we understand and forgive them so we don't recreate them. And of course, this concept of balancing karma, as this process accelerates, more stuff comes up, and, you know, for more transmutation. And what would you have the world know about Mother Mary in this hour, in this regard, for this healing process of transformation and transmutation?
Well, transmutation is a key, and it's transformation or transmutation is the changing of one element to another. And so first we have to look within ourselves. And the key that not only Mary, but every ascended master and conscious being who has transcended this plane seem to be giving to us in this hour is that we need to self-realize. We need to have self-realization that we are all that is within ourselves, and that we need to make the changes within ourselves that we want to see within the world, because we can ultimately only work on and change ourselves. But when we do that, we do change the world. Some of your listeners may have heard of Ho'oponopono, which is this beautiful Hawaiian, or actually a kahuna teaching on consciousness, and how when you work on yourself and you forgive yourself, you love yourself, and you then affect all life. And it actually, I believe, comes from an ancient teaching from Lemuria, the motherland, which is another connection with the mother, or Mu. And on this ancient motherland that was in the Pacific, which sank before Atlantis sank, there were many conscious beings who understood the science, the divine sciences of life. And so this kahuna teaching on Ho'oponopono allows us to transform the entire world by transforming ourselves. And so we really don't look outside in duality any longer to say, oh, this is good and this is bad, and dwell from a sense of this dualistic thinking, but we enter into a unified field or stream, or what some call the morphic field, which is this point, the singular point of beingness. And we know now, as many conscious people are saying, it's not about doing so much and attaining by stressful outer action, but it's about going within and being and accepting the individuality of our God reality right where we are. And so Mother Mary says this very majestically and very beautifully, and she embraces us with a tenderness that is emblematic of her Immaculate Heart, which is so compassionate. And it's interesting you mentioned compassion, because she has asked for a statue that she likes would like us to call Our Lady of the Compassionate Heart.
I would love to hear more about the principles and processes of the Divine Mother, processes in terms of disciplines, for example, the importance of keeping one's harmony to manifest spiritual abundance, etc.
Well, abundance is part and parcel to harmony, and without harmony, there really cannot be the new energy field established that we require to move into Aquarian opulence, which really, I believe, is the right of every man, woman, and child. There are many control factors in our environment, in our ancestry, but mostly within our own thinking and feeling world that affect us and that are programmed even within our outer DNA. Well, in this age, in this time period of transformation between ages of Pisces and Aquarius, it's like our entire DNA is being upgraded to a new and higher level. And part of this upgrade is through conscious language, using the name of God, I Am, in our statements by affirming our reality and no longer using terms that really defile or degrade who we are as sons and daughters of God. And so we'll be having a course in conscious language with a book that we'll be studying in January in our Mayer University classes, written by Robert Tennyson Stevens, and he's an expert in this field, and he's developed these beautiful concepts that move us into higher consciousness by the very language that we use day after day. And so we need to watch ourselves. We need to be self-observant and objective in how we present ourselves to the world through our thoughts and our conscious speech.
So
and our feelings that back those words.
So this conscious languaging is kind of, from what I understand, an upgrade of the what some people understand as the science of the spoken word.
Yeah, the science of the spoken word is as a model for drawing down etheric concepts and wave patterns of light into the physical through the spoken word, which anchors those engrams into our dimension through our voice, because the throat chakra through our voice is an active chakra that you know creates. And so we are co-creators with God, and you know, when God said, "Let there be light," that was where the creation began.
Mm-hmm.
Until that point, there was not outer manifestation. It was basically the void of the uncreated or undifferentiated suchness that the Buddhas talk about. So the upgrade now is that we, through a very affinitized and an accelerated conscious thought process, begin to use words that accentuate what we truly are and what we have always been within our soul, within our hearts, within our higher self, and no longer limiting ourselves by the choices of the words that we use that, as I said before, either defile or degrade us, into thinking that we're animals or that we've evolved from lower level creations. Well, I don't believe in evolution in that sense, although I do believe there is a spiritual evolutionary process, but I think that we were created eternal. We were created in love as conscious beings who were vouchsafed with the same frequencies as the Creator to go forth and multiply and to co-create with the Creator. And if you just logically think about it, wouldn't you want your child to have everything in his or her disposal, in her toolkit, to be able to live the most beautiful, wondrous, and creative life? Of course you would. So God would give us everything that we require within the seed of our being, such that when watered and the sun added to it, will grow naturally. And that's what we're now learning and realizing, mm-hmm. that we've had all of these divine qualities always locked within us, and it's a matter of unlocking them through conscious thought and feeling.
It's easy to forget that we're great cosmic beings having a human experience rather than vice versa.
Right.
You know, and I've been thinking a lot about the frequency of holy compassion as a frequency that resonates with the principle and the energy of the Divine Mother. And I try to think of, you know, the how it's a frequency that reflects and perfects the image of God. In other words, chicken or the egg, is it the frequency or the form? But it's, without the resonant with the frequency of a certain level of harmony, there can't be the reflection and the perfection of the form, of the thought forms that are the best represent the harmony. In other words, if there's discord, it's difficult to create something with a beauty and order, you know, that's really divine in one's thought or, you know, in creation. If there's not a centered and connected frequency of a more enlightened nature. And from what I understand, the frequency of compassion is like the violet flame. And some people refer to it as three octaves of B flat below C, you know, an actual frequency. Then another people refer to it as the golden ratio algorithm of the heart. The heart chakra, the Heart Math Institute talks about it that way. And that, you know, and that this frequency, as you entrain it in your consciousness, you might say, when I say an entrainment, it's actually a resonance with it. Then it organizes information. It organizes intelligence along more enlightened lines that frames concepts, you know, thought forms that really represent more of a divine inspiration, call it, insight.
One of the key concepts that Mary gives us in her recent messages is about imaging and imagination and seeing what we want as manifest. And it is a holy science of imaging. And some people have actually said that we're moving into the age of imagination and imaging. And I believe it, because I think that at a very high frequency of thought is imagery. And when we can consciously envision what we want to manifest through the power of the light of our presence that flows through our eyes and through our higher vision, it is so. And in higher worlds, divine beings think and they create simultaneously. There is no space or time between their conception and their visualization and the reality of its manifestation. It's just in these lower frequencies of time and space where we live, in these lower dimensions, that it takes a cyclic round of time and space for the crystallization of thought to manifest as substance.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In the science of imaging, which is a great, great science, the yogis of old and many mystics have engaged in this for eons, and they have understood this science, and so they have been able to actually precipitate, like Saint Germain and other masters, through a higher alchemy, these divine thought forms and engrams of a new age and a golden crystal age. Now, we in the Heart Center, we refer to the Aquarian age not as just a golden age, but a golden crystal age. And it's important because the crystal is the crystallization of thought in form. And
other God flame.
Yeah. And so many of these ascended masters, as they appear to the mystics and to those with higher vision, don't just look like formed beings as we see them, but they have light bodies, and oftentimes their light bodies are in these cosmic geometric forms that are emblematic of their heightened awareness as these crystal beings, and we've heard of the crystal children. So,
yeah.
So really, Mary and many masters are bringing more of this ancient science of Hermes Trismegistus, as well as many higher beings who came from, some of them from other star systems, not as aliens or UFO people, but as very cosmic, enlightened conscious beings who can travel anywhere in thought, anytime, anywhere they desire. And so Mary, for example, has appeared throughout the world to many children and people who she chose to see her, who were very humble, both inside and outside of the church, and they were just awestruck and dumbstruck and kind of transfixed in this vision of her, but it was a higher vision when some people couldn't see her. But what she conveyed was the beauty of a mind stream and a heart stream of consciousness and presence and love and compassion, forgiveness. And she always adjured us to pray and to enter into humility. And from this point of humility, we can engage the cosmos in a cosmic activity of co-creation. And that's the joy of this new age.
Wow. Well, I know things are changing rapidly, and it's going to take some mighty alchemy to transform or transmute the institutional malaise as we know it. And I'm,
but it's happening everywhere. You look at Eckhart Tolle and Oprah.
It's true.
Millions of people were able to read that book and be, you know, enter into a higher consciousness. And because of the internet and, you know, what you're even doing tonight through, internet broadcasting.
Oh, this is just amazing.
It's a fantastic technology where you can reach hundreds and thousands, and then there can be almost an instantaneous transformation, as the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. Well, what is that twinkling of an eye? The masters have told me it's the Elohim's vision,
mm-hmm.
the twinkling of the Elohimic eye, or the eye of God, the all-seeing eye. And when that little twinkling occurs, it's just this slight little, you know, from their vantage point, a very, very slight little energetic change. But on our planet, it's a huge transformation and possibility of moving into a higher stream of awareness. So,
I think it's a chain reaction. As more people do it, it creates resonance, the 100th monkey effect or whatever, whereby more people are doing it. And I like to think of this process of awakening as a resonance with that frequency of holy compassion. And I really believe that a lot of people are it happens in spurts with people. It's like in the Montessori method, you know, there's this, these growth spurts that happen with children, or these growth windows with learning. And it's definitely happening on the internet. The phenomena is so amazing, whereby someone like yourself, I mean, this might be the biggest group of people you have never known before, or seen, or heard.
Well, and I believe that we all pick up on these changes in our higher bodies. Because
yeah.
we're more than just, you know, our emotions, our mind, our physical body. We are spiritual beings. We have higher bodies, and some say 7 bodies, some say 10. I believe in the Kabbalah and at a tenfold, a ten-dimensional effect that's in play. And sometimes we have these higher experiences that filter down into our conscious awareness, either through dream states or meditation, or just these impulses and these, you know, whether it's deja vu or whatever it is. And a lot of this is becoming more common with many, many people now. And it is a gradual awakening, but for some, it's almost instantaneous. And one day, they are one person, and the next, they are totally transformed. And it's by the grace of God, and it's by not a human willing, but through the open portal of our hearts. And I love your emphasis on the heart and compassion, because I believe that this is the key to the new age. And without a heart-centeredness, without the approach of loving-kindness, and a lot of the Buddhic, their concepts of compassion, I don't think we're going to get there. But I think when we open our hearts, we do open our minds. And I believe in what's called heart mindfulness, which is
heart mindfulness. I like that.
Yeah, it's a wisdom the heart is wise, and the people in heart math have proved this. The energetic field of the heart is more powerful than the brain. The heart is actually very wise. And so with this depth of heart wisdom or heart mindfulness, we do enter into a new Buddhic mind thought process and a new field of activity.
Well, I believe there's a sequence of persuasion from higher octaves to lower, which is like a sequence of resonance.
Yeah.
And it goes from the higher vibrations, which really is spiritual as the frequency of vibration, and the higher mental body resonates with that into thought forms. It crystallizes the God flame as geometrically ordered divinity, or G-O-D as geometry of divinity. And so the higher mental body crystallizes that frequency of the spiritual frequency into the mental body, and the mental body creates a frame of reference for energy in motion, the emotional body, which steps it down into physical action. So there's a sequencing from the spiritual to the mental, the emotional, and the physical. And that sequence of resonance really is what it is. Begins with a frequency, as in frequently, of holy compassion. I like to call it cosmic love.
Well, if we could see what occurred under the Bow Tree when Gautama reached enlightenment, what you would see, in addition to these wave patterns of a new mindfulness that emanated from his brain, from his mind, you would also see from his heart chakra just a tremendous effulgence and a billowing effect that created cosmic waves of energy that affected the entire planet as well as beyond this planet. I can feel this just talking about it. I can feel the import and the cosmic effect of his heart stream, which was tremendous in its manifestation. And so some people believe that Gautama Buddha actually has a tie to every heart on the planet as what they call the Lord of the World.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he holds a field, this beautiful field of intention, through his continuous attention upon the divine within every life on earth. And so because he is so focused in that perfectionment of our higher self, our Buddha nature, and holds that morphic field for the earth, that's why he's been termed the Lord of the World. And it's time for all of us to engage in a higher level of this mind stream or this heart stream of higher awareness so that we can help him and we can bring the earth into a golden crystal age. But first it takes our intent, and Wayne Dyer has, you know, very lovingly brought forth, you know, teaching on intention, which is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lamas and the Buddhas of the East have known this for eons of time, and it's just being kind of awakened within us now.
Well, you know, the teachings of the Ascended Masters, pretty much all the disciplines get into the great cosmic beings that are actually anchored in the starry bodies of star systems, galaxies, you know, solar systems. And that planetary systems, galactic systems, there is a consciousness, you know, like the Alpha and Omega in the heart of the great central sun that our whole galactic, you know, system orbits around. But there's an intelligence there, and there's the starry bodies of these, you know, these stars throughout cosmos are actually intelligences. That there's different frequencies that come off of the different stars. I had one person on the program that had an amazing teaching with the frequencies with these special telescopes to take the frequencies of the different stars and the consciousness that's represented with them. I mean, a scientific rendition of what, you know, the masters have told us from different spiritual disciplines, you know, the last 100 years. And what's really amazing to me is that this energy within these vast intelligences that are out there, there are free agents like ascended masters who incarnate and take their great momentum of mastery, their great attendant that they ascended with, you know, that they graduated from this dense octave and went on, but as free agents, you know, came back and anchored their momentum of mastery into this octave through their heart, through the morphogenic grids you know, the Antakarana, the web of light, and basically jump-started evolution of consciousness on the planet.
Well, one of the key masters that have done this is Omram Mikhail Ivanhoff, and I recommend that our listeners and everyone get some of his books and read them. You can get a daily meditation for free over the internet.
Who is it again?
Omram Mikhail Ivanhoff. He was a Bulgarian.
Oh, yeah.
He lived from 1900 to 1986. Well,
you have references on your webpage about that, don't you?
Yeah, and he's brought forth this ancient teaching of the science of the sun as a key component of the New Age, and that the sun is a celestial being. It is intelligent. Just think of the cosmic power of our sun and what it puts out as BTUs of energy that actually sustain life on Earth as well as other systems. And I believe, if you look at it scientifically, what is helium? It's two atoms of hydrogen fused, or through fusion, that become helium. Well, what does that relate to? It's an alpha and omega activity, two celestial beings totally in union, almost like a cosmic orgasm, if you want to use that term, that's ongoing for tens of billions of years to put out this energy field that we feel as life-giving solar radiation. And so these are cosmic beings in the suns, in the stars. They are highly evolved spiritual, celestial masters who have developed the science of being to the extent where they are complete enlightenment. And they're not just gaseous bodies, as regular science would teach us. They are morphic fields of enlightenment and
vast intelligence.
Because think of what everything on Earth couldn't come into being without the sun. So, and we are meant to evolve into that if we choose, by conscious thought, to grow and to add spheres and spheres of enlightenment to ourselves through our evolution, through our experience in time and space, and if we continue to evolve and to grow and to pass our initiations and tests and to learn through the cyclic rounds of the Manvantaras and the ages, then we too can rise into that level of beingness that is awesome and beautiful.
So this process, as I understand it, is uniquely accelerating at this time. You can see it, and with different things happening on the internet in the world, it's like a finger on the pulse with the internet. You know, you can get information from all over the world, and it's the frequency of change is being accelerated by the instant, everywhere, interactive nature of the internet. It's accelerating the rate of change just because there is no time or space now. It's like all the mysteries of God have been eliminated as this veil thins with this presence, this instant, everywhere, interactive presence that is either love, you know, magnifying the frequency of holy compassion, oneness, and, the first principle of loving with all your soul, heart, mind, and your neighbor in this global village as yourself.
Well, absolutely. And so people are being given a choice to choose to be or not to be. To be God, to be love, to be light, to be compassion, or something else. And so naturally there will be just kind of the fading away of the old age of human reason and the accentuation and evolving into an age of divine reason, which is love and compassion and joy. Now, I want to mention joy because the Ascended Masters, through Mother Mary, has said it's no longer about the sorrowful way, the Via Dolorosa.
Right.
She coined the term Via Gloriosa, the glorious way.
The glorious way.
This age, this new age, is meant to be one of joy. And, we shouldn't be going around with dour faces. We need to be, joyful. And there's actually a huge movement now of laughing yoga or hasya yoga, which we've done in some of our sessions, and it's, you know, we laugh. Seriously. We laugh, and in that laughter, there's healing. And, you know, Adams, you know, has proved this. And I mean, you know, people can laugh their way to health if they know how to do it right. And so some of the old images of the Renaissance, of these sorrowful images of Mother Mary, are no longer really meaningful to me. I love Adolphe William Bouguereau, you know, with his absolutely beautiful, tender faces of Mary, along with Leonardo da Vinci. And another artist in this age that I highly recommend people check out is Marius Michael George.
Oh, yes, Marius. I love his stuff.
M-A-R-I-U-S. If you haven't had him on your show, get him. Marius Michael George. He's Yeah, he's from Romania. He is, to me, one of the preeminent, if not the best, New Age artists, with these beautiful geometric images as he portrays celestial beings radiating light and energy through their chakras. They're just transcendent images. And so this is what I believe we should visualize. You know, we need to visualize what we want, and don't even speak a word, a syllable of what we don't want, or what burdens us, or what is past, or our problems, or, you know, our pains, and all that
stuff. As my mother used to say, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all.
Yeah, because we energize it, and we recreate it. And especially older people, we need to lovingly remind some of our elders that when they, you know, their bodies start deteriorating a little bit, don't continue to verbalize and speak of all these pains and these anxieties and things that are happening, because you recreate them and you energize them, and then you activate them again in your body.
Yeah, you reboot them.
And you reboot them. So, but we need to do this. We need to first master the science ourselves, and then lovingly and compassionately share some of these concepts with people in a way that they can accept without pride, without any arrogance whatsoever, but with complete joy and divine fellowship and friendship and spontaneity and just a lot of tender, loving care.
Yeah. Well, you know, David, I'm really glad I had you on the show because I really wanted to discuss the reason for the season as this, you know, the Christmas season is the Christ-like spirit birthing, birthed by the frequency of holy compassion. That subject, that concept, you know, at this time of the year, that would be the reason for the season. And is there anything else that you would have the world know from Mother Mary in this hour?
Well, one of the things that she loves to do through me is give live discourses, or what we call heart streams, in a singing mode. And if your listeners and you are willing, I'm willing to be the instrument for her to just do this for a few minutes.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Okay, so gracious hearts, I would speak to you of love and holy intention this day. Will you be in my heart? Will you be in God's mind and compassionately convey to everyone you know and meet my love? For in this Christmas season, when many look to my Son, Jesus, for their inspiration and a heart of givingness, please, 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 dear ones, understand that you each one also may embody the same light that he bore the earth, as that Christ consciousness Yes, that Christ presence. Yes, that crystal pattern of light, who you are as sons and daughters of the One. And so in this age and in this hour, as you give your gifts, as you share your love, realize that you are all co-creators with the great beloved who is God. Yes, each and every one may emanate a frequency of loving kindness, oh, most holy compassion to everyone, not only your families, but your entire communities and those whose lives you touch through your work and service. Blessed Holy Ones, and all who will hear my song, may the blessing of grace be yours. May the presence of joy flow unto your hearts. May the grace of the Word, the eternal Logos of light, deep within you, expand, 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 as I say, Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. Blessed hearts, may the peace of the presence, your presence, flow ever and always. And may you be sealed in the wholeness and in the healing light of cosmic joy. I thank you.
No, amen to that.
Well, I just have to say that even though I have, you know, a masculine voice, there's always an element of the tender heart of Mary. And whether you were born and raised Catholic or Christian or not, it doesn't really matter. It's just emblematic, and she's emblematic of our souls and the feminine part of ourselves that's coming to the fore. And if you're a man, it doesn't mean that you're demasculated or that you're less of a man. It just means that you can be more whole by embracing through the whole brain and the whole heart the fullness of who you are. And so there is a tenderness that can come to men and that women naturally have. And for women, they can receive a certain empowerment of the true feminine that sometimes is hidden or doesn't always come to the fore because of our environment and our programming and our ancestry. So,
well, I love that. I love that balance you have in your voice, David. And I love to think of the harmonies in a voice as representing, you know, so much of what and who the soul really is. And I know that this evolution of the planet right now and the evolution of consciousness is moving to a greater balance of that, of the masculine with the feminine and with the feminine with the masculine. And the harmony between the two is a balancing act that all of us are going through. And I really believe that this is one of the biggest tests and blessings of Christmas 2009. And I'm so grateful that was able to have you on the show to share this today. Was there anything you'd like to Anything else you'd like to share for Mother Mary?
Well, there was a time when she gave five keys for how to prepare for 2012. Did I share that on a previous show with you?
I believe you did about a year and a half ago. I had on the show.
Okay, so that's already been shared. But just to kind of recap for those who may not have heard it, you know, the most important thing is for us to have our connection with our source. And another thing is to befriend the Ascended Masters and our higher teachers, our higher guides, and to really get to know them and to commune with them daily, and to listen and to read their teachings and to really embrace their awareness. And there shouldn't be any fear of what's coming. It should embrace the future and the now with love. Because really, you know, this movie 2012 and other things that are coming are just Hollywoodized, and they're just, you know, there shouldn't be any fear of the future. But we need to also prepare and to grow our own food organically as much as possible in our own domains, our kin domains, or our space of love, as Anastasia puts it in the books by Vladimir Maigre, a Russian writer. And really, we need to enter into a culture of compassion and love, and that's why I really appreciate your focus on compassion tonight.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Look forward to doing this again before too long. And David, I'm just so grateful.
Just so grateful.
So this is happy, joy, merry Christmas to all that are listening. And first of the year, we'll do an update of review of the year, and with much to look forward to. So thank you for being on today, David. And we'll do it again sometime soon.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.